Weeks 1 through 3, we talked about why we pray, why we preach, and why we give. And this week, it is why we sing. So if I can't do this one, I may need to find a new line of work. I'm going to give it my best shot. But you know who loves to sing? My son, Callan, loves to sing. He accompanied me to a rehearsal one time, and he brings his red bass, because that's what color Bo's bass is, who plays bass up here often. And so he brought that with him, and that was totally unscripted. He wasn't posing. He was actually playing his red bass. So he loves to sing, and I love standing up here and looking out and watching him just air guitar, rocking it out every Sunday. He doesn't know it, but he's actually leading me in worship. And so you do the same when you do that as well. A Harvard study published in 2019 set out to answer the question, is music universal? Now, they studied 315 societies, all the ones they could find in the whole world, and in every single one, they found mention of music or singing in all of them. Think about it. There's not a single culture that has ever existed in the world that has not contained singing. In fact, music is often the defining characteristic of a culture. It's like language and music. They go hand in hand. Those are the top two defining characteristics of culture. And we know a thing or two about singing here in Nashville. We tend to take the whole music thing for granted because we're just surrounded by it. But everyone is surrounded by it. There's more content put out today than ever before in human history. Over 1,000 songs come out every single day on streaming platforms. And even this sermon is going to be posted to a podcast later. Music is everywhere, and it's always been everywhere. Even before the internet and MP3s and CDs or cassettes or maybe even records for some of you that used to use those, music has always been around us. We can just walk outside and it's in the way that the wind blows. It's in the waves crashing onto the shore. It's in the birds chirping. Music is in the leaves rustling in fall. All of creation is constantly singing a song. And we were created to sing as well by our Creator. And so, would you stand? We're going to read today from Ephesians chapter 5. This is Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He says this, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Lord, would you be with us as we dig into what you say about singing in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll have a seat. The best way I know to do this is to just start with the passage and go phrase by phrase and let's unpack it, all right? We're going to start in verse 18. Paul says this, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." This filling here of the Spirit is not, he's not talking about a salvific filling, right? When we're saved, we are filled with the Spirit. The Spirit dwells in us once we're saved, and he always dwells with us. But there is a difference in if we're actually walking with him or if we're walking to the fullness of what he calls us to. And so he says, be filled with the Spirit. And notice the contrast here. We have the word drunk and filled, right? So he's saying, don't be filled with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, but be drunk with the Spirit. That kind of maybe upsets some of us Baptists, but be drunk with the Spirit. Or don't be influenced by worldly things, but be influenced, be under the influence of the Spirit of God. So we sing because we are filled with the Spirit. It's sort of an if-then statement. If you are filled with the Spirit, then you will sing. It's a direct cause and effect relationship. And I think there's even an element here where Paul is saying, hey, even if you aren't currently filled with the Spirit today, if you need a refilling, if you need to dwell with the Spirit more, then sing anyway, and then be filled with the Spirit as well. So it's a both and type of thing. Here's the question, though. If you don't sing, if you don't participate in our singing here, are you filled with the Spirit? That's the question for us today that we need to ask ourselves. He goes on to say, addressing one another. Addressing one another. So a lot of us think, well, why do I have to sing with other people? Why can't I just worship by myself, like in the shower or in my car? I don't love singing. I'm not a singer. I'll leave the music for you guys up on the stage. Why are we called to sing together? Well, there's a few reasons. One is unity. We sing for unity. If you're taking notes, that's a great word to write down. We sing for unity. Kelsey Lynn was telling me about the Taylor Swift weekend. Anybody go to one of the shows like a month ago or so? A few, right? She told me, like, Justin, I looked up and I realized people were raising their hands. They were singing. She was like, it was a worship night. And I was like, you don't say. Yeah, it was a worship night. We do the same thing here at church. We sing for unity, but instead of singing to Taylor, we sing to God, right? Amen. You see the same thing, like if you go to a Nashville SC game or something, everybody's cheering in the stadium, and then at the end, they have a song they've written for the team, and everybody sings a song together, win or lose, right? That's the same idea. So in the secular world, this happens all the time. Everybody does it. It's not a Christian thing. It's people want to sing something. We sing for unity, and it does the same for us as Christians. We sing to teach, right? Let me sing this, and you finish it, okay? The B-I-B-L-E. Great. What about this little light of mine? Or Zacchaeus was a... Great. Y'all know the songs, right? We did this as kids. We taught with music as kids, but for some reason, we sort of forget about that element when we become adults. So what you're singing, whether you know it or not, is teaching you something. What you are singing, whether you know it or not, is teaching you, which is why it's so important, the music we sing here, the music you listen to at home, what you're filling yourself up with, it is teaching you something. God even designed this, our bodies, to work this way. So a little bit about the human brain. When we sing, we actually use both sides of our brain. With the left side, we're thinking about the lyrics and the theology. We're making sense of the logic. With the right side of our brains, we're making sense of the melody and the rhythm and the chords that are being played, the emotion. So when we sing, and when we sing truth, we're using both sides of our brain. So you can make the argument that when we sing, we're actually using different and maybe even more brain power than when we just study the word. Does that make sense? That's pretty convicting that the songs we sing are that important. We sing to do battle with each other. Worship is warfare. I'll say that again. Worship is warfare. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat gets some men and he tells them, hey, I want you to sing. I want you to sing to the Lord. I want you to worship. And you are going to go out in the front lines of our army in battle. Singing is warfare. I think of a family, it was a couple years ago, on Easter Sunday, the family was sitting right here on the front row. And they were here early, they were excited to be here, but I knew that family was walking through a health situation and they did not have any answers. And they were here early, on time, ready to sing, and halfway through the music, a woman walks in and sits here right on the front row because these were the only seats open because we're Baptist on the front row. And so she walked in late and sat on the front row next to this family. And we started singing the song, Because He Lives. You know that song, Because He Lives. And knowing what this family was going through, I looked at them. I made sure to look at them, and they were singing with everything they had. Husband and wife holding hands, hand in the air, singing, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow." In the midst of their crisis, they were singing. And then I looked at the lady who I knew her story as well, which y'all are probably creeped out by that because you're like, you're thinking that like, know all your stories. But I know her story as well. And she, I know she was walking through a divorce, through a separation, and it was all the faith she had just to show up on Easter Sunday and get the last seat available. And as we sang that song, I looked at this family, and it was as if some of their faith was spilling over onto this woman. That's singing for warfare. We battle with each other through the crisis of our life. And so their faith spilling over onto her, whether she knew it or not, that is why we sing together. It's also why worshiping in person is really important. You know, there's been this new trend of online worship, and if you're joining us online, welcome. Hello, Mom. I know you're watching. But singing in person, being in person, is really important. You can't rub shoulders with people online. You can hear a great message, you can hear great music, but I doubt any of them are actually standing up with their coffee in their pajamas singing, right? You just can't, it's not the same. The other thing is this, if you aren't participating in singing, if you aren't addressing one another, you're not serving your church family as well as you could. If you aren't participating in singing, you aren't serving the others in the room. Let's continue. He says, address one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is where it gets a little tricky because there are a lot of preferences involved with music. We have something here, Leadership Value, called mission over methods. What that means is we're not married to the methods, we're married to the mission. The mission of the gospel and making disciples is always going to reign supreme here. The methodology we use can change with the times, with the people groups, with the culture. So we may not always use a drum kit. In a few years, we might be DJing worship. Who knows what the trend is going to be, right? The method will change, but the mission will stay the same forever. And Paul, notice what Paul doesn't do. Paul doesn't prescribe a type of music or a genre to sing. He prescribes a type of song. It's a difference. A type of lyrics. A type of writing, right? So let's break it down. Psalms. What are psalms? I think these are just the psalms of the Bible. There are a lot of them written by David, right? Right there in the middle of the Bible. He says, sing scripture. Sing the songs that are in the Bible. Recite them. Read them. Sing them in church. Hymns. Hymns mean, that word hymn means a lot of things to a lot of people, but I think what Paul means by that word is a song written on purpose that's not divinely inspired. It's not scripture, but maybe it uses scripture, and it's written on purpose to teach other people about scripture. So it's a teaching method. It's a way to let the word of God kind of come through your mind and into your heart. And then we have this third one, spiritual songs. This one's a little bit scary to some of us. It's a little bit nebulous of a thought, but it's kind of everything else that's helpful to sing. Maybe it's something spontaneous, some sort of spontaneous praise chorus that just erupts in the moment, or a song that's not necessarily written for teaching per se, but just written for praise from the spirit, from the heart. And mainly Paul is saying, sing it all. Sing scripture, sing songs written about scripture, and just sing praise songs. Sing it all to God. And hopefully you've noticed, we aim to have a balanced song diet here at our church. So we'll sing, we'll read some scripture, and then we will sing a hymn that's written about scripture, and then we'll just sing a praise chorus that's just a spiritual song. And hopefully in all three of those things, we are being built up. Paul cares about the lyrics that we sing. He doesn't specify a genre, what we should play, or what kind of instruments we should use, but I will say the Bible does talk about clashing cymbals, so it's okay to have a drum kit, right? Here's a quote by a pastor named Randall Lanke. I think sums it up really well. He says, any historical survey of church history warns us of the futility of making endless lists of strict rules and regulations for church music. Yes, there are a number of abiding principles for good church music, but the detailed restrictions on certain instruments or certain musical types or rhythms are doomed from the start. So we were created this for we weren't created for a specific music culture. We were created to sing. Does that make sense? Let's continue. Paul then says, singing and making melody to the Lord. So again, we sing. It's not just wordless music. It's not instrumental music, but singing that's really important for congregational gatherings. And Paul just said, address one another, but here he says, make melody to the Lord. So what does he mean? He means you're making melody to the Lord, and you're singing also to each other. So we worship leaders like to call this the horizontal and the vertical, right? We sing in the horizontal to each other, and we sing in the vertical to God as well. But notice what he doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, sing for yourself, or sing to yourself, or sing about yourself. He says, address one another and make melody to the Lord. And it doesn't mean that like the self is bad. It just means that's not the point of what we're doing here. You're here to sing for other people, and you're here to sing to the Lord. You may ask, well, what about me? What about my life? I'm going through stuff. I need to come sing and be filled up and be encouraged. And I'll say, yes, you really do. But you're not going to do that by singing to yourself. You're going to do that from the person that's sitting beside you who's singing to you. Does that make sense? If I'm singing to you and you're singing to me, we all get served. This is a serving type of singing. Then he says, sing with your heart. And this probably seems obvious to some of us. We should sing with our heart. But let's think about it for a minute. We're to sing joyfully. We're to sing with fullness. We're to sing with passion. We're supposed to mean it. It's not enough just to say empty words. God wants us to mean it in our heart. He cares about the condition of our heart. There's a song called The Heart of Worship. And it's written by a guy named Matt Redman. And the story goes is his church, they were in a weird spot with their singing culture. They just couldn't figure it out. It wasn't going well. And his pastor said, you know what? Let's just turn off the sound system, turn off the lights. Let's just sing together. They kind of just went Church of Christ on them, I guess. But let's just sing together for a few months. And let's kind of reiterate our singing culture. And so they tried it. And it completely changed their church. And they introduced, you know, lights and sound and instruments back eventually. But they just wanted to get back to the heart of why they were singing. They had forgotten it. Some of you would probably love if we did that here. I don't know if that's going to happen. But it's all about the heart of worship. So the question is, where is your heart? A lot of us are thinkers. We love to come and we just like to stand and we just want to think about the words. That's great. But sometimes our thinking, we stop there and we never let those words go to the heart. Some of us are the opposite, and we're all heart. We're like, I don't care what the words say. It just feels good, and I'm in it no matter what it says. You guys need to, like, back up, stop, let those words go through your mind first, and then hit your heart. Where is your heart when you sing? Then Paul says, give thanks always and for everything when you sing. And we're to give thanks to God for what he's done. But notice what this word here, right? Giving thanks always and for the good times. No, he says for everything. It's ironic to me because Paul literally just said in verse 15, he says, the times are evil. Be careful how you live because the times are evil. Yet here he says, give thanks for everything. So how do I give thanks for everything when the times are evil? It's a great question for the days we live as well. Everything, the good and the bad. We sing in the storm. We sing in the crisis. You know, I think of Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16. They were arrested and put in prison wrongfully. And what did they do? They sang. And the prison walls shook and the doors opened. I think of Jesus on the cross in the midst of the darkest time in human history, the wrath of God being poured out on him. The first time he's ever been separated from his Father. And what does he do? He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? I didn't realize this for a long time, but that's actually Psalm 22. It's a song. And the Jewish people would have known that song by its title, my God, why have you forsaken me? So what Jesus is doing on the cross is he is actually singing. He's singing a song in the midst of the darkest moment ever in human history. There was a song being sung. Our Savior is a singing Savior. So we're a singing people. So the question for you is, do you let your circumstance rob you of your singing? Or do you sing in the midst of the crisis and the storm? And for the parents in the room, have you taught your kids, do they actually know songs well enough that when something happens in your family, they see you singing and they start singing? That's the kind of singing Paul is talking about here. Give thanks and always for everything, even in the midst of evil days. And then the last phrase here, to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple things here. The whole Trinity is actually present here in this description of congregational singing, right? Because Paul told us we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit and sing to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. So we have God the Spirit, God the Father, God the Son present here with us in this type of singing. It's a fullness. It's God is fully with us when we sing. Now, I could have just said this and walked off the stage, this next statement. This could have been the whole sermon, but notice here too, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we sing because Jesus is worthy. I mean, that should be enough right there to make us sing. Jesus is worthy. And we sing in his name. Revelation 5, this is the end of when Jesus returns. This is what happens. It says, he took the scroll, and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, and they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slaughtered, and you purchased people for God by your blood from every tribe and language and people and nation. So we sing because we were created to sing, and because Jesus is worthy. So a few practical things before we close here. That's all great. The theory is great. I got all this stuff about being filled with the Spirit and singing with one another and what we sing and how we're to sing. But what's the next steps I need to take? I feel kind of stuck. Let's talk about it. The first thing I would say is be here often and on time. According to a Gallup poll in 2022, only 20% of Americans attend church every week. That's down from 32% in 2000. 11% attend church once a month, and 31% never go to church. Look at the trends here, right? This is weekly attendance. This is about once a month. That's kind of stayed a little constant. But look, weekly attendance, the trend is downward. Never going to church, the trend is upward. Another poll, the Barna Group, they estimate that the average church attender, so let's assume you already go to church. The average church attender, the average family, goes to church 1.6 times a month. And I'm not going to shame any of you about that, but I will ask a question. Do you think that's enough? Enough time singing with people, worshiping God? Is that enough? For all the things that we face in our life, for everything we do, is that enough? 1.6 times a month. Doing the math, that's over 12, right? But how many NFL football games are there, right? It's about the same amount of NFL football games in a season. That's how many times most people come to church a year. It's pretty convicting. But imagine what kind of town or city or nation we would live in if people gather more often to sing to God and to sing to each other. No wonder our culture is crumbling, right? No wonder we live in such evil days. Also, the on-time part, right? This is convicting as well. I know it's hard. Parents, too, just getting out of the door, waking up, getting here. It's like, it's all you could do to get here and only say, like, two or three curse words in the car, right? So thank you for being here. But, like, being here on time is crucial, right? We make time for what we value. And the music we sing before the sermon is not just a warm-up for the sermon. It's your time to sing to one another, to serve one another, and to sing to God. And so if you're missing half of that, you're missing half of that. So try to be here on time as best you can. Number two, get your playlists ready. So maybe you need to make a physical playlist on your phone or something. We have a great one. Our church does. It's in the slides before the service. You can scan it and get the QR code. But it's all the songs we sing here at church, at our church. That's a great one. Make your own of songs to sing. But then also make one in your heart. Jesus had Psalm 22 written on his heart, and on the cross, in the midst of crisis, that's what came out. For a lot of people, it's Psalm 23, right? Stressful situation, you recite Psalm 23, it eases you, right? The Lord is my shepherd. Maybe for you, it's It Is Well With My Soul, or Great Is Thy Faithfulness. But what is that song that you go to in the midst of a crisis that you can just whip out? Three, engage with your whole person. So this one gets a little sticky as well, right? I'll talk to the men for a second. Very few times, you may say, you know, I'm not expressive, I'm not emotional. Wade says this all the time. Big Greek word for that, it's baloney, right? Very few times in your life, good things happen and you don't have any expression, right? The birth of a child, that child growing up and hitting a home run or even just getting a single, right? We get so excited. We raise our hands. We clap because God has made us to be emotional beings and expressive beings. And like, that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It feels like sometimes we get into these four walls and it can feel like, well, I'm not supposed to that's too much for this room, or I'm not supposed to act that way at church. The Bible is full of people shouting and being expressive and, dare I say, even dancing, right, in worship. So it's okay. And men, like, you may think it's not manly or it's not cool to be expressive, but man, ask your wife. I'm sure she will find it attractive if you are engaging in worship, right? It leads your kids really well to be expressive. They see you watch football, all right? They see you watch football. They also see you at church. Now I'm preaching, y'all. Some of us, too, Wade was telling me this. It's a great point. He was saying, it's like trying your vegetables, right? Some of us are like, well, I'm just not an expressive person. It's not my personality. Well, have you ever tried it, right? Have you ever tried maybe just taking your hands out of your pocket, unfolding your arms? Have you ever tried it, right? It's like a kid trying vegetables. You don't say you don't like it if you haven't tried it. Try your vegetables. And if you still feel like you can't engage with what we do here in the songs and the singing, come talk to me. I'll tell you why you're wrong. No, I would love to talk with you, and we can talk it out together, and I'd love to help you find ways, like, man, how can I get what we're singing from my head and from the lyrics and into my heart? Engage with your whole person. And then number four, lastly, ask the Spirit to continually fill you. Ask the Spirit to continually fill you. This is what Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and sing. You're not going to sing if you're not full. If you're saved, you do have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, but it doesn't mean you're living and walking with Him to the fullest. So ask God to fill you every single day, every single day. I'll also say this, if you're not singing Monday through Saturday, you're not going to sing here. Right? Ask the Spirit of God to continually fill you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little more extended time of singing now. I know sometimes we just sing a brief song, but man, it would be weird if we talked about singing and we didn't practice, right? So let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to practice. We're going to sing. And for those of you who maybe feel like you want to try being more expressive, try it. Try your vegetables. No one's going to make fun of you. There's freedom to do that here. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of singing. Lord, you've created us to sing. And there's something that just feels right in our souls when we sing to you, when we sing with other people. Lord, I pray that we would not miss it, that we would be here often and on time, that we would have a playlist of songs in our heart to sing in the midst of the crisis, that we would engage with our whole body, Lord, that we would be filled with the Spirit, that we would sing. Lord, singing is the second most command that you've commanded us in Scripture. Praise the Lord. Lord, we praise you today. We praise you in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.